Looking for your next favorite podcast? Start here.
Ruth started looking into the emerging science about these new chemicals that, in the last few decades, food manufacturers were adding to food, and studies that linked some of them to cancer in lab animals.
There's so many researchers and scientists, too, looking at data and evidence showing us that in our daily lives, there is less violence than there was before. There is positive thoughts and spirit that are moving this humanity forward. And I believe that.
And as cannabis picks up steam and more steam, and it gets more and more popular, and younger people continue to get into it, I see that being a bigger threat to beer than anything else. There's no other bigger threat to me than the cultural shift away from beer.
Get set for samples from The Uncertain Hour, The Knowledge Project, and Wild Pitch. Welcome to Start Here from Cincinnati Public Radio. I'm Tripp Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Each week, we sample and highlight three podcasts to help you navigate the exploding podcast world and maybe even help you find your next podcast obsession. Plus, get an email summary of each podcast we feature with our weekly Start Here email blast. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here email blast at the bottom of the page. And if you like what you hear, please rate us at Apple Podcasts. A 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. Now, with special thanks to Cincinnati Public Radio's Wiser Advisors, Jim Nolan and Kevin Reynolds, and writing, research, and curation support from Connor Eldridge, let's start here. Returning to our must-hear list this week is a podcast dedicated to discovering the surprising origins of our economy. From Marketplace, it's The Uncertain Hour. It's a deep dive into the history of money in America. Each season, host Chrissy Clark zeroes in on one controversial economic topic, moving beyond the buzzwords to bust long-standing myths and uncover their unexpected backstories. The first season's topic was welfare, what it is, where it's headed, and where it came from. And this year, The Uncertain Hour is back with a new season and a whole new set of questions. This time, the sights are set on regulation. Whether it's seatbelts in cars or lead-free paint, federal regulation is all around us. Join Chrissy Clark as she investigates the long and complicated history of red tape in the U.S. Case in point, check out this first episode of Season 2, The Uncertain Hour. The episode's titled, The Peanut Butter Grandma Goes to Washington, and it documents the experiences of Ruth Desmond, a concerned citizen who went to D.C. to fight the FDA over the use of additives that hadn't been tested for safety.
That's the kind of person she was.
The kind of person she was. She was determined. So there you go. That was how she looked at everything.
As for Janet's dad's cancer.
Fortunately, he got most of it out. Cut a lot of it out. But mother then wanted it to stay out because bladder cancer is one of those that can reoccur.
And at this point, Ruth did something lots of us might do in her situation. Research. She went to the library, started reading up on the latest science about cancer and its potential causes, which led her to these studies on
the potential role of chemical additives and pesticide residues in food.
Angie Boyce is a bioethicist at Johns Hopkins who's written about Ruth Desmond. She says Ruth started looking into the emerging science about these new chemicals that, in the last few decades, food manufacturers were adding to food, and studies that linked some of them to cancer in lab animals. The science was still uncertain, inconclusive, but it raised questions for Ruth about how safe the food was that she was feeding her family. And more importantly, who was supposed to be in charge of figuring out what was safe?
And that's when she really had a revelation.
That's Janet Swager again, Ruth's daughter.
And said, I'm going to do something about this.
And if doing a little library research is something that any of us might try in Ruth's situation, what Ruth does next is something most of us might not take the time to do. Without Ruth's gurney-climbing, surgery room door-busting determination.
At that point,
that's Angie Boyce, the bioethicist again.
And I think, you know, this is so Ruth Desmond. She calls the FDA.
They're named the Food and Drug Administration, after all. So she figures they're supposed to be the ones keeping watch over food to protect consumers. So what are they doing about the questionable safety of all these chemical additives?
And they tell her, if you're interested in this, why don't you, you know, you're local.
She was in Arlington, Virginia, remember, just down the road from the FDA.
Why don't you attend this hearing we're going to have on food additives?
And so she does. Drives over to the headquarters of the FDA.
She loved driving her big Pontiac. She was so short, and all you could see was a pair of knuckles and some eyeballs peering over the steering wheel. And she'd be going 80 and 85 miles an hour.
It was a journey Ruth would come to take many, many times over the course of her life.
A sample from the Uncertain Hour podcast from Marketplace. Explore the complex history of federal regulation in our country with the second season of The Uncertain Hour. Available now on WVXU's Podcast Central. New to the Podcast Central collection this week is a podcast that'll make you smarter, guaranteed. Canadian spy turned journalist Shane Parrish has turned the resources of his blog hosting site into a podcast that'll work out your mind and help you see the world in a whole new light. Described by one listener as mental jujitsu, the Knowledge Project podcast explores the ideas, methods, and mental models that help you expand your mind, live deliberately, and master the best the brightest minds have figured out. You'll hear from guests as varied as former NHL stars, award-winning chefs, and psychologists as you learn to be a better person, a better thinker, and a better doer. Give a listen here to this clip. It's from a recent episode of the Knowledge Project podcast featuring Sophie Gregory Trudeau, wife of Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Sophie talks with Shane about her battle with eating disorders, why art and nature are such a big part of her life, and much more as they contemplate what it is they believe unites us as people. In this clip, Sophie discusses how she's learned to view the world through a lens of goodness and compassion.
You know, I was not overly politicized before I met my husband. I had some core values that I believed in as a human being. And I was completely blown away by what I have seen in the past years in politics, by the human beings I have met who sacrifice their lives, their family lives, their quality of life to serve. And it is very inspiring and at the same time very frustrating to see that sometimes some people will want to darken that picture and will have actions that will make it darker for everybody, but not for long. Because I think that going back to the truth, I think it's Churchill who said that the truth is incontrovertible. Malice may attack it, ignorance may deride it, but there it is in the end. I believe that. I believe that human goodness rises at many moments. And it doesn't mean I'm naive. Quite the contrary. I see the forces at play. And I also see that goodness usually prevails. When you look at the state of the world right now, it's difficult to believe that because so many people are suffering. But when you do take all the facts together, and whether it's, you know, so many authors are working on this theme right now, as Steven Pinker, The Better Angels of Our Nature. I know you probably read all this stuff, but there's so many researchers and scientists too looking at data and evidence showing us that in our daily lives, there is less violence than there was before. There is positive thoughts and spirit that are moving this humanity forward. And I believe that. It doesn't mean that the negative forces are not strong. They're probably going to get stronger. This means that we need to be as organized as human beings who want peace and justice as the other part of our own lives where it's not working out as well. So I think that the one thing I have seen and that I would love for people, everybody to see, is what it's really like in politics. It's not glamorous. And if you see me, for example, in a couple of the shots during the year in heels and a dress because that's the dress code for the event, well, good. But that does not reflect my life or what we're doing.
I want to talk a little bit about that. We were talking a little bit before the podcast started about the Photoshop sort of like generation and Instagram and why people choose to, what's your take on why people choose to accentuate these moments in their lives that are non-representative of their broader lives? And what do you think the impact is?
Oh, that's a deep question. I think that we all crave love and attention. We all want to be understood and cared for. That's how a baby comes into the world. And I'm a mother now, and I always felt like I've had this maternal intuition of caring. And I want other people to thrive. I want other people to succeed. But I see that in a world where, and in a culture of individualism, where we have been taught that we were never enough, and where we have been shown visually models, quote unquote, people or concepts of perfection, of obsession with youth. We are denying who we are as mortals, as human beings, as our condition per se, and how we come into this world. The flower grows and it dies, and you know, it's
the circle
that's
of life
cycle. Yeah. It's kind of like we're denying that in some ways. And I think that the cult of individualism has deepened that gap between the natural state and the fake state, between life and death in some ways.
A sample from the new podcast, The Knowledge Project, with Shane Parrish. Feed your hunger for knowledge with The Knowledge Project podcast, now available on WVXU's Podcast Central. Our local podcast feature comes to you with all the brew news and insider views on the world of beer. Join host Brett Coleman on his show Wild Pitch as he discusses all the latest beer-related news. Each episode is filled with opinions, conjecture, hearsay, and a sprinkling of tasty beer facts. Brett is the co-owner of Urban Artifact, a craft brewery and taproom in Northside, so you can rest assured that he knows his stuff. And you can also catch some Wild Pitch live on the radio on WVXU's HD2 channel every Sunday at 3. Here's a clip to taste test from a recent episode of Wild Pitch titled PBR Reigns Once More. In the episode, Brett discusses the latest beer news, including the recent PBR debacle, which nearly destroyed the brand, beloved by college students and old men alike. Here, Brett discusses the beer market's recent shifts in popularity and what to expect from the future of craft beer with the dawn of legalized cannabis.
Beer is down. Marijuana is growing, and the industry at large is more crowded than ever. So overall, domestically, beer shipments are down 3%. That's all beer, not just craft beer. All beer is down 3% right now. And it's not great. Off-premise is down. On-premise is down. Basically, beer is down all around. There's some styles that are still growing. IPAs are still somehow growing. Belgian styles are declining. Obviously, really what's growing the biggest right now is golden ales and pale lagers. Pale lagers are up 53% on the year. There's a couple flagship breweries that are doing pretty well, others that aren't. Lagunitas is actually up about 2% total, but their flagship IPA is down about 3%. So there's some things happening a lot with these bigger breweries. There's some shakeups going on. There's, you know, they're starting to feel this beer pinch a little bit more too. But all in all, craft beer is relatively healthy. Interestingly enough, marijuana and cannabis, as it's coming online more, it's not impacting beer trends yet. I don't know how this looks in regards to beer trends for just craft beer, but beer in general is down. And when you account for states where cannabis is illegal, cannabis has medical, and cannabis has recreational, beer is down the most in states where cannabis is illegal. Now, that is in no way correlation or causation. You can make the argument that if your state still has 100% illegal cannabis rules, you might be a little more strict on a lot of recreational drug use, whether that's cannabis or alcohol or any other such mind-altering, mood-altering chemical. So it's hard to say causation correlation, where when you control for 21-plus population changes in recreational marijuana states, beer is down 1.5%, and illegal states is down 2.3%. I don't think you can take much from this. I think basically initially beer's down overall in the country because wine and spirits are up. I don't know alcohol market as a total sum of drinking is up or down, but to me the true threat isn't in losing sales in the short term. That's not the true threat. The true threat of cannabis is a cultural shift for this country. It is a wholesale cultural change. Have you ever seen a TV show or movie from like the 80s or earlier? Everyone is smoking cigarettes. Everyone. Everywhere. All the time. In like every scene, there's cigarettes being smoked. It's insane. You watch a movie or TV show nowadays, there is very few smoking of cigarettes going on. Like, that is a wholesale cultural change that happened. And a lot of times there's countries don't have, like, they generally only have, like, one predominant drug of choice. You look back through time and you look at, like, the different civilizations and the different cultures and what was their main mind-altering, mood-altering substance that they went to. In a lot of Western cultures, it's always been alcohol. Others, it's been, you know, like, throughout ages, sometimes it's been opium, other times it's been cannabis. There's other things in different countries that I'm not familiar with, but it generally varies, but you generally don't have like two. And as cannabis picks up steam and more steam, and it gets more and more popular, and younger people continue to get into it, I see that being a bigger threat to beer than anything else. There's no other bigger threat to me than the cultural shift away from beer. Now, will it ever fully go away? No. They tried the prohibition. It didn't work. It's not going to happen. But if there's campaigns for pushing alcohol and vilifying alcohol, like what happened with tobacco, then similar things could happen. Taxes could go up. It could become stigmatized. It could start being like you can only drink at certain spots, which is already kind of that way. It could be like, it could continue to be stigmatized in our culture in a way where it marginalizes and marginalizes and marginalizes, which means that breweries are going to get pinched. Winemakers are going to get pinched.
A sample from the podcast Wild Pitch from our friends and HT2 channel partners, Radio Artifact. Stay up to date on beer news, both local and global, with the help of Wild Pitch, available right now on WVXU's Podcast Central. It's chart time, a look at the hottest podcasts in the country from Apple Podcasts as compiled by iTunescharts.net. Well, two newcomers topped the charts this week. First, from the creators of Sword and Scale, Dark Topic, and the West Side Fairy Tales comes the most terrifying audio experience you'll ever hear. 9 stories, carefully crafted, 1 year in the making, and beyond the limits of anything you could possibly imagine, based on actual events. The podcast is Monstruo. They say be prepared to take a journey, a tour of the world where the most horrible atrocities have occurred. That's our first of 2 number ones over the past week. The other is from a well-known and mostly beloved TV star and advice giver, Dr. Phil. Fill in the Blanks just debuted earlier this month. The focus of the podcast is on Dr. Phil interviewing a wide array of influential people from Jay Leno, Charles Barkley, Kathy Bates, Dax Shepard, Steve Harvey, and many more about their personal paths to success. His first episode features Shaq, and it's number one already on the Apple Podcast charts. Thank you for joining us for Start Here, Cincinnati Public Radio's Discovery Podcast. For more information about podcasts we like, check out Podcast Central at WVXU.org. And remember, if you've got a podcast or an episode you'd like to recommend, email us at podcast@WVXU.org or call us at 513-294-8030, and we'll add your voice to ours. For now, I'm Trip Eldridge for Cincinnati Public Radio, and thank you for choosing to start here.